We're going to introduce Jim and Jim and Kathy. I'm excited. Kathy's with Jim today.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? Because Jim and Kathy have a integral part in my life. They allowed me to come live in Paraguay with them my senior year of high school. And I just wanted to say something real quick about them. Jim totally, he would take short-term missions trips. They lived as missionaries in Argentina, Paraguay. But he would also take these short-term missions trips. And he let me go at the summer of my junior year. So, you know, when these people are taking missions trips, I have learned by experience how marked you can be by seeing the Lord move in a whole nother country and realize, oh God, for me it was, you're not just the God that I know through my parents and through the church that I've grown up in. You are the same God in Argentina, in Paraguay, in South Africa, in China, you know. And I caught the bug from Jim, traveling with him, of the bug of just missions. Had a heart for the nations. And it was so awesome to go with him. I'm so thankful, because I know it takes a lot of work to wrangle all a bunch of group of gringos that want to go to other countries, you know. But the other thing was, then after that missions trip to Paraguay, I got off the plane and told my parents, I'm going back. I went for a 2-week missions trip they were living on at an orphanage and working at a school and working with those groups in the area. And it was like, I was marked. I just was so marked by the Lord there that I came back off and I said, I'm going back. And then they were so gracious to let me and another teenager come live with them and do our senior year and work with Kathy in the school there. And one of the things I'll never forget, I think about this all the time, and I don't even know if I've told Kathy this, but I remember waking up and just living in their house, and it was hot. It was so hot in that area at that time. And we were just hot a lot of times. But I just remember waking up, and she would be up early in the morning, and she would always have worship music playing. Always have worship music playing in the house. And it just, it's like this atmosphere of the Lord in a home where you're all the way away from all your comforts. But yet she had this way of setting this tone in her home of worship. And Kathy, I don't know if I've ever said that to you, but I remembered it, and I've done it in my own home for years and years and years, where I would just turn on worship music and I would just hear her just, you know, we would be washing floors, and because you had to like wash the floors. Like, you had to get on your hands and knees sometimes and be washing floors. But there was just this atmosphere of joy in her heart and love for the Lord. I could just hear her love for the Lord. And then being able to just go with Jim out to the boony sticks of South Africa and just be able to, I mean, not South Africa. I've been to South Africa, but this was Paraguay. It just was such a marking time, and I'm so thankful, and I'm excited that you guys get to hear from Jim this morning, because, you know, what he gives, what he and Kathy give, is out of a lifetime of real day in and day out pouring their lives out before the Lord for years. And they have seen God in so many situations, and I've seen them never give up on the Lord through the highs, the lows, the ups, the downs, the hard, hard things. And we're so thankful for them. And so, Jim, Matthew, did you want to say
anything?
That's okay.
Yeah.
So I just want to pray for you.
Oh, go.
Can I pray for you?
Go.
Lord, I just thank you for Jim, and I just ask you that your Holy Spirit would just be stirred up inside of him, that he would release everything that you've placed inside of him, Lord, that there would just be a river that would just flow from the depths of him, and that there would just be a release of your living water this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I really do appreciate that embarrassing introduction. But I want to tell you some of the backstory about how graciously we received Sarah to come and live in our house. I got a call from Chuck, and he says, Sarah's coming to the airport, and he gave me the day and the time of the arrival of her plane. He says, I want you to go pick her up. She's going to stay with you the rest of the year. I'm telling you, Mar, it wasn't gracious on my part. Chuck just told me she was coming.
You're not going to leave her just out there.
It wasn't an invitation. She just, you know. But that's also one of the things I most admire about Sarah. Is if she thinks something is the Lord, she's going to go after it.
Amen.
She's going to go after it. I mean, that is a quality to be lauded and fostered in children. That to get a good vision and then to go after it with all your heart. You know, we had a good time. It was kind of hard to chase away some of the Paraguayan teenage boys for a while there. But anyway, we worked it out. who picked that? They told me, says, I was wondering about that worship song. Wasn't worship great?
Yeah.
I mean, are you guys really so used to that? That doesn't seem awesome and unusual. I mean, good. God Almighty, and I mean that in the best sense of the word, that was wonderful. That was great. And it the interesting thing is Matthew asked me to come here and share with you my position on eschatology this morning. Gosh, that's a way to kill an anointing at the beginning of a message, isn't it? People go, oh no. But I'm telling you, the way I view our future was perfectly encapsulated in that song list. I mean, that's what he is, the Almighty God who is in control of all things, even me. You know, and he can get us to our eternal destiny. We live in troubled times right now. I don't need to talk about all the lies that are being perpetrated, not only on our culture here in the United States, but on the nations around the world.
Yeah.
That which is very easily discerned as untruth is being presented as truth so as to inoculate people against the truth. But Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And he's going to have the last word.
Yeah.
He is still Lord of lords and King of kings. And he is not worried about the rising and fallings of nations and earthquakes and disasters and those troublesome things that if we're not filled with God's Holy Spirit, might cause us to quake and tremble for the wrong reason.
That's right.
Now, if I'm doing any shaking, I want it to be before the presence of the Lord God Almighty and not before the lies of this day and age.
Amen.
So that's kind of where I'm going. I'll give you a little bit of background. About 50 years ago, I can't remember if it was in 1972 or 1973, when I was a student at Oral Roberts University, I took a course in eschatology from one of the most learned men I've ever had the pleasure of meeting, a Dr. Roy Hayden. He had a couple of bachelor degrees and a couple of master's degrees and a PhD, and he could read and Hebrew and Greek. When his Bible was not the King James Version or the New American Standard, it was Nestle's New Testament and the Masoretic Text. That's what he carried around with. And his doctrinal thesis was on the time of the restoration from the Babylonian captivity, when Israel was restored back to their native homeland. And he had no English sources in his bibliography. All of his bibliography was from cuneiform Babylonian records and tablets.
What?
Only a very select few people in the world were qualified to even examine his thesis. I'm talking a smart dude. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And a beast of a professor. He started out, and basically what it was is he identified five basic theories about the end times that were taught either historically or popular in the United States at that time. And he would he required us to be able to teach and defend all five of those positions as if it were true. From the original texts, from church history, etc. and so forth. And he started out with the most popular one, you know, that we all get out of here scot-free before the tribulation. We're all raptured out before anything gets tough. And we hang around in heaven for 7 years, the pre-trib rapture. And then we had a test, and we had to write a little paper. And then we had to teach mid-trib rapture, and then post-trib rapture. And then we went to classical premillennial theory, and then we had to do amillennial theory. When I came home with the amillennial thing, my wife started trying to cast demons out of me and thought I was becoming a heretic. You know, but so I'm not totally ignorant, although I'm not an expert like Dr. Hayden. I'm not totally ignorant of the popular teachings that run around in the body of Christ today. But what I want to do is I want to get what Jesus said in the Bible into me.
Amen.
And into my heart. The simplest thing that Jesus taught about the end times is what, you know, at the end of that course, we were all so confused. We begged Dr. Hayden. We said, Dr. Hayden, please, will you tell us what you believe is true? Because you forced us into adopting all these positions and we're just confused. Help, please help. And he it took a while. And he said that he had written a book on the interpretation of the book of Revelation in his youth, but he had had the wisdom not to publish it, and that he was going to destroy it before he died so that it wouldn't be published posthumously and discredit all of his work. But we said, but Dr. Hayden, what do you believe? What do you believe? And he says, well, after all this study, I've come to this conclusion. Jesus wins, and I'm with him.
Amen.
That, in a very short paragraph, is exactly how I feel about the troubled times we're in. That's how I feel about the end of the age when that comes. It will come. But it'll come suddenly. And probably none of us will be getting it right when it's going to come because he said it would surprise us all. But I'm with him. However it works out. I'm with him. I'm in him. I want him to work in and through me. You know, I'm with Jesus. Wherever it goes from this point on, there ain't no turning back. Okay, that's it. Now, I've already gotten to the conclusion. By the way, I don't know you. What is your name?
Me.
Go to this.
Darren.
Darren. Yeah, I never even heard that name. You know, I was really impressed with how many devices you can manipulate and finesse all at one time. And as I was watching you, I thought, that young man can walk and talk and pat his head and rub his belly and sing and worship, and he can do many things simultaneously very well. And I felt like the Lord showed me that about you, because your calling and your future is not a singular calling and purpose. That you can dominate many areas and works and callings at the same time. It'll be multifaceted. You'll have a multifaceted ministry for decades. You're going to be used for the glory of God in many areas. It won't be like a singular path. It'll be many paths that will dominate them well. Because not many people can walk and talk and pat their belly and rub their head at the same time, but you got it.
Okay. I don't know what I'm going to say. That's always dangerous. But I know, I'm just going to start in Matthew 24. I don't know, it's gotten out of fashion to actually carry a Bible, because they always feed it up here. Matthew asked me, what scriptures are you going to use? And I told him I didn't know, because there's no way I can completely cover this topic in 40 minutes or less. So I'm just going to kind of hit some high spots. And whatever the Holy Spirit, this is my prayer. Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say, please help me to say. Because my goal is that you'd not be troubled as you see the things happening around us. That just like that song said, no matter what, God is working out His purposes in this day, in this nation, at this time, and indeed in all the world. We are living on the cusp of one of the greatest moves of God in world history. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of that.
Amen.
There was recently a movie, the Jesus Revolution movie. Okay. I met the Lord in 1970. I was one of those long-haired hippies that had dropped out and turned on, and I was studying the Tibetan Book of the Dead and doing transcendental meditation. And two of my roommates got saved. We had a real close friend that died of hepatitis, drug-induced hepatitis. And he passed away. And I guess they got desperate. And they went to a little place called the Lamb's Chapel in Charlotte, North Carolina. Got radically saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And they came back to me and says, this is different. This is not your normal Christianity. These people really know God. They just don't know about Him. They really know God. And so I went to the Lamb's Chapel to make fun of them. And I was expert at arguing with Christians. I was good at it. And yet I encountered the Holy Spirit and was radically born again. And within just a few weeks, I was preaching on a street corner to one person. And the next thing I knew, 75 people were there. And about half of them got saved. And I took them to a lake the next day, and they got baptized in Lake Summit in Western North Carolina. And I didn't know that you had to have apostolic succession ordination to be able to baptize new believers. I was just a semi-redeemed hippie at the time, you know. But
But I got swept up in that Jesus revolution.
Yeah.
You know, Kathy forced me to go see that movie right after I got back from Paraguay and Argentina race playing. I bawled like Chuck through the whole meeting. I was sitting there blubbering like a baby. It was embarrassing. I just couldn't help it because it's real. When God decides to move in a culture and nation, wonderful things happen. And my God, I want to see it again.
Yeah.
I want to see it again before I go. I want to see so much Holy Ghost activity going around that we can't even keep up with it all.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to see it. I think I got the promise of the Lord. I'm still going to be strong and going strong when the next wave comes, and I'm going to be doing some surfing.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. Do you see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down. And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. Now I've been to the Mount of Olives, and it's a great place to see the Temple Mount. You know, when you came out the Golden Gate, the Eastern Gate, in the time of Jesus, you could still walk out that gate. It's walled up now, and there's a cemetery there. But you could walk out that Golden Gate, and you go down, you cross a little creek called the Valley of Kidron, and you go back up, you go through the Garden of Gethsemane up to the top of the mountain, and from the Mount of Olives, you've got a great overview of back on the Temple Mount. And all the disciples were impressed that the buildings were there. And Jesus says, all of that's coming down.
Yeah.
All of that's coming down. So set your hope on something other than those buildings.
Wow.
But it's a beautiful place still. You can sit up there. You can see the temple now. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Verse 5. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will mislead many people. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will hand you over to tribulation. I thought we got out of that scot-free. No, that was just first century Christians. We're special, so we don't have any troubles in life, right? Anybody here totally free of troubles and tribulations? Not I, said the little redneck. Then they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations. Do not be surprised if Christians in the United States continue to lose societal favor. Have you noticed? Have you noticed how when I was young, Christians had societal favor, cultural favor? Today, most young people are embarrassed to admit that they're believers, even if they are, because there's pressure. We have to sort of sidestep believing what the Bible says. You'll be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will fall away, and they'll betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased. Do you think lawlessness is increasing?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, lawlessness gets more cultural approbation than Christianity today.
That's the truth.
It's a great time to be alive. No, I'm serious. We're going to see God get glory. In spite of all the things that are going on.
Most people's love will become cold. But the one who endures to the end, this one will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Now, Jesus continues teaching here, and I want to do this here. I want to show you that in my Bible, there's red letters, you know, where Jesus is talking. So Jesus continues to talk all the way through chapter 24 and all the way through chapter 25, because chapter 24 and 25 is Jesus' reply to his disciples about the end times. It's all one teaching. It's one discourse all the way to the end of chapter 25. And then the first verse in Matthew 26 says, when Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days the Passover is coming and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion. So this was just 2 days before the final Passover when Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. This is a first person account by the Apostle Matthew about Jesus' teaching to his disciples about what to expect in the end days. This whole section of the Bible is one discourse from Jesus. This is what Jesus taught us about the end times, about eschatology. So this is where I get my belief about what's going to happen in the end times. Because it's a first-hand, simple account of what Jesus told his disciples just before he was sacrificed. Okay, so this is where we get it from. Not from Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth. Or Tim LaHaye's, what is that, Left Behind series. It's interesting that that The Late Great Planet Earth... Oh, gosh, I'm having a Joe Biden moment here. I can't remember his name. I just said it, and I can't remember it. Everybody pray for Uncle Joe. I know what it feels like to have short-term memory glitches. You know what I'm saying? But you know, he wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth. And then systematically for the next 30 years, every 3 years, he wrote a new book about end times. Saying how I wasn't really wrong the last time I told you it was going to be in 5 years that Jesus would come back. I got one detail wrong. The principle's still true, but this is the way it is. Do you know his books were the number one selling series of books in the world during the 1980s? He became fairly wealthy. But now this is really true. I got, you know, if the internet's true, who knows? But how Lindsey, he sold more books than anybody else. You know, and then I remember he had one, I forget, it was 1988. He was gonna Israel was founded in 1948. That it had to be, you know, it was 1988 was when he was going to come back. But then before that happened, in 1989, he published another book. Oh, we were using the wrong calendar. We were using the Roman calendar. We should have been using the Hebrew calendar. And, you know, but anyway, he made a lot of money selling these books predicting the end times. But this is really the catcher on it. He took the earnings that he made from those end time books and invested it in long-term real estate investments in Southern California. And turned his wonderful book sales into generational wealth. Investing in long-term real estate investments, rental properties, and business properties in Southern California.
Now, not only his grandchildren, but his great-great-grandchildren, if they don't squander it, will never have to work a day in their life. Oh, we're predicting the end of time. So, let's stick with what Jesus says, okay? Let's get back to that. And verse 15 of chapter 24, how much time have I got? Oh, I'm doing good. I can breeze through this. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, in this particular instance, I think we might be getting close. I can remember back in the 80s, I read an article that said one of the least evangelized regions in the Western Hemisphere was in northwestern Argentina and southwestern Bolivia up in the Andes Mountains. And so that was one of the reasons I became interested in going up into that section of the world. And so when I finally made my way up there, I discovered many mountain valleys. Addison went with me once up into one of those mountain valleys, and I broke my leg, and they had to haul me out on a mule, but that's a different story for a different day. But we discovered many valleys where there were no known believers. And in 2019, we were able to install a radio station in a little place called Angasaco, Argentina. And all during COVID, when people couldn't even travel between states or provinces in Argentina, they were kind of trapped. And they were getting bombarded with the gospel of Jesus Christ from this radio station that was the only radio station that they could receive in those areas. And just this morning before church, I got a WhatsApp pictures of the guys visiting one of the churches that had been formed up in a valley where there were no known believers before COVID.
Wow.
But now there are. It's like the gospel is reaching the uttermost parts of the earth. Yeah. So this makes me very hopeful that we might be seeing the culmination of the age.
Yeah.
That is a very hopeful thing. No matter what's going on in the school systems. You know what I'm saying? I believe we're getting close. I don't know where to go, Matthew. I very rarely go places with an assigned topic. This is really hard for me. Then, and let's just keep on working our way through this thing, and I'll get where I want to go. Another big thing in all of the Left Behind series and the Late Great Planet Earth series is talking, the concentration is about the tribulation. Do we have to go through it, or are we to get to escape it? When is the Antichrist revealed? What's that going to look like? And this verse is often referenced along the revelation of the Antichrist, you know, and there's a lot of things we could talk about surrounding that issue, but let's just read Matthew 24, verse 15. It says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out of his house, and whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those women who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. Moreover, pray that when you flee, it will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath, for there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will again. And if those days had not been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." And then he goes on, "Therefore, if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'He is over here,' do not believe him. For the false Christ and false prophets will arise and will provide great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I've told you in advance. So if they say to you,
He is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Whoever, wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. So, have you ever been sitting in your living room, facing away from all of the windows, when there's a bolt of lightning in your neighborhood, and you can see it, no matter which direction you're looking? If the windows are closed, it's a phenomenon, isn't it? That you don't have to be looking in the direction of the lightning strike. You will see it. There's just like this permeation of the whole atmosphere with the brilliance of that discharge of power. That's exactly the way the coming of the Lord will be. This is the way a country boy would say it. It ain't going to be easy to miss. We ain't going to miss it. Everybody's going to see it. Believer, unbeliever, righteous, impure, everybody's going to see it. I think that's the essence of what Jesus was saying. He's saying, now the timing of this thing and whether you're going to miss it or not, you've got to believe just this way. And if you believe you're going through the tribulation, you just might have to, but me, I'm escaping. All of that stuff is silly. It's really silly. We won't miss it when the Lord comes. When He steps back into this reality, everyone in the world will know. That's not what Jesus was telling His disciples about. It says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, there'll be signs in the heavens and on the earth. There'll be a great trumpet blast. In verse 31 it says, and He will send forth His angels with a great trumpet blast, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. And He's talking about the resurrection there, that the dead in Christ will rise first, and we will meet the Lord in the air. And then those who are alive at that time will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air as He returns to set up His kingdom. That's from 1 Thessalonians. Okay? So that, He's saying, don't worry about it. If you believe in Me, you'll be in on it. Whether you're alive or dead. Whether you're in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, or Angostura, Argentina. We're all going to be caught up at the same time. Okay? So that's not Jesus' teaching about the end times. He continues His discourse. And it says, be ready, therefore be on the alert, for you don't know which day your Lord is coming. Verse 44, for this reason you must be ready as well, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will. Who then, verse 45 says, who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Now I'm going to digress there a little bit. We kind of have a problem with slave talk in the scripture, because of the scars on our culture from chattel slavery. And, you know, but the scriptures clearly teach that that was not good. He said anybody who participates in that, whether you're the one capturing, buying, or selling, that's a capital crime. It shouldn't have ever happened, but let's get past that. Okay? I lived in Paraguay for 6 years. Now, in Paraguay, when the Jesuit priests first went to Paraguay and were trying to find a word for God for the Guarani Indians there, They didn't want to use the names of the Native American gods because they had good gods and bad gods, and they were always fighting with each other, and there was this, you know, conflict in the heavens all the time and everything. So when the translators came up with it, they came up with this name, and it's Nyandejada. Nyande means our. Jada means owner. The one you belong to. In their culture, they identified with their chieftain. They were his people. He was their leader. And so when I was trying to learn a little bit of Guarani Indian, I said, Lord, I want you to be my own. I want you to own me. I want you to possess me. That's the only one who should ever possess a person's loyalty and entirety. I want all of my being to belong to him. You see what I'm saying there? I think that's what the scripture's talking about. That we belong to him and he belongs to us and we are one with him. That's what he's talking about here. I want to be possessed by the Lord. I don't want anybody else to have any strings on me. I want him to be the one who's controlling my life. Yeah. But then we go into chapter 25, and we have three parables. Many of the Bibles will break this out into three headings. And it's the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and then the parable of the final judgment. Okay? All of this is one teaching. Now remember, we're still talking about the end times. How many of you have heard endless sermons about the virgins and having oil in your lamp? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
What is the oil? Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to preach a whole nother sermon about the anointing oil. But it just says, five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take extra oil. In verse 3, they did not take extra oil. I think that indicates that we need so much of the Holy Spirit. It's rolling out of us, that it's overflowing within us. And man, that worship team this morning was getting me all saturated out here on the front row. I mean, I just, God, do you guys realize how wonderful your worship team is? There is, you know, professionalism is a good thing, especially when it's got the anointing all wrapping around it. You know what I'm saying? And they're both professional and anointed. Then, man, that's powerful. And that ought to be... I think anybody who had half a brain and was half alive was blessed during that worship set. That is a picture of how we ought to be every day in our lives. That we with diligence practice our craft and depend upon the anointing. And when those things are present in our lives, we can have a positive impact on others in the culture around us. That's what Jesus' teaching was about the end times. It says, but the prudent ones took oil in their flasks with their lamps. Then it goes on, so let's just get as saturated with the Holy Spirit as we can. No time for foolishness. If you do believe that things are getting bad and desperate and we may be getting towards the end, how do you deal with that? Get as anointed as possible. Step number one. Get all the anointing you possibly can. Be hungry for it. Seek it out with diligence. Get in God's face and ask him for it. This is my eschatology, folks. Verse 14, we go into the parable of the talents. Now, Jesus is still saying, this is just another aspect of the same topic of how to be ready for the Lord's coming.
Yeah.
It says, for it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And he gave 5 talents to one, 2 to another, and 1 each according to his own ability. You know, a talent was a lot of money. A talent of silver, I've seen figures, lowball figure, it was 15 years' wages for a common laborer. I've seen other places where it said it was 20 years' wages. Today in the United States, I looked this up in prayer. I looked this up on the internet. How much money do you make if you're flipping burgers at McDonald's for minimum wage? About $15,000 a year. That's minimum wage salary. About it's really hard to live on $15,000 a year in America today. But that's, let's just so we get a grasp on what Jesus is saying here, we're going to take that lowball figure. $15,000 a year times 5. So we take 15 and multiply, we take 15,000, we multiply that by 15 years' wages, each talent. He gave him 5 talents. That comes out to $1,125,000. Now, if the Lord were to give me $1,125,000 today and say, do something with it, the first thing I would do was go hire a business administrator to help me because I don't know what to do with that much money. I would get a professional to help me. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody would be able to invest that money wisely and correctly in any economy. You know what I'm saying? So there are abilities. He can invest. It would be foolish for the Lord to give me 5 talents because I wouldn't know what to do with it without help. I follow golf. And Matthew's the reason I learned to play golf.
Yeah, I
didn't know the boy, and so I wanted to know him. We could play golf for $5 on Mondays.
$10.
Was it 10?
Yeah.
On Mondays at a local course, and so I started playing golf with Matthew to get to know him. And then I got bit by the bug. But anyway, those guys that win, you know, $3 million on one weekend playing a golf tournament,
they've
got pros helping them to invest it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you just get one talent, the one talent people, I've always felt sort of sorry for them. But that was $225,000. Now, I could probably handle that. I buy a car and a house. You know what I'm saying? I could invest that. But there are capacities. But Jesus was saying, in this teaching, I don't have time to belabor the point. End time doctrine. Take all the resources that the Lord gives to you and maximize its potential and invest it wisely and use it for His glory the best way you can. And if you've got more resources than you know what to do with, find somebody to help you.
Yeah, that's good.
This is eschatology.
Yeah.
This is how you prepare for the Lord's coming. You be found using the resources He gives you to the maximum best of your potential. And then he goes on one further. Is the judgment. I've got 5 minutes to preach a sermon on the judgment sequence here. So it says, but when in verse 31, Matthew 25:31, but when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He'll sit on His glorious throne and gather all the nations, and they will be gathered together before Him. And you know the way it goes. It says in verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who were blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you?'" You see, these people that Jesus is talking about here weren't doing acts for religious purposes. It was something that was in them. They were kind people. They were generous people. They were willing to go out and help others that were in need. It was the unconscious, subliminal acts of a person who was filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't doing it so that God would be pleased with them. They were doing it because it was who they are.
That's right.
There sits a man that I am personally aware of that gave away at least 3 inheritances. Out of the generosity of his heart, I saw him since he was a young man give away things that was his rightful inheritance. But I pray that God multiplies back 1,000-fold. I'm proud to be Chuck Moore's friend. Because it's who he is. Lord, that's how you get ready for the end times. You become the person that you know Jesus wants you to be. You be kind and you be generous. You be loving. You be giving. You go visit the people when they're down and out, not when they can do something for you.
Amen.
That's how you get ready for the end. Truly, verse 45, chapter 25 says, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it, that you do it for the least of these, you did it for me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And Jesus finished up these words, and 2 days later began the Passover. And right before that, they nailed him to a cross and he died. Then he was resurrected from the dead. And he was with the disciples for about 40 days, teaching them things about the kingdom of God. And just before his ascension into heaven, in Acts 1, he said, "You heard from me that John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they began asking him, saying, "Lord, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were asking him for geopolitical things again. "Lord, are you going to save the United States of America?" But he said to them, "It's not for you to know the periods of time or appointed times which a father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest part of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were watching. Those were the last words of Jesus on earth. And a cloud took him up out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, then behold, 2 men in white clothing stood beside them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing looking up into the sky? Why are you reading books about the tribulation and the Antichrist? And why are you gazing and trying to peer into the future? This Jesus, who you've seen have been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you watched him go into heaven. You'll all see it." And basically, Go do what he told you to do. So they went back to Jerusalem and started a prayer meeting. And it lasted about 10 days. And then Holy Spirit came. And you know the rest of the story. So that's my approach to eschatology. Matthew wanted me to share it here with you guys. I admittedly don't know all the details, but I think Jesus, in this discourse on the Mount of Olives, told us the details aren't important. Your life is what's important. Being filled with, baptized with, empowered by the Holy Spirit to become those people who subconsciously just go out and preach the gospel with their very lives. That's the way we should live until he comes. Amen. Delivered from the fear and anxiety of the times in which we live, knowing that he will conquer all. He will be exalted before all eyes, living and dead, good and bad. It's all going to get sorted out when he comes. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's good. And we're with Jesus. He wins, and we're with him. And the thing is that the Lord, I do believe that we are going to see a harvest, that we are looking for a time even now that the Lord's wanting to come and do something. And I feel like this goes right along with it. It's something that the Lord's shown us recently that we heard, is that if you pursue revival, you'll get performance. But if you pursue Jesus, you'll get revival. And I just think that's that thing too, along with what the Lord's saying in the end times and preparing for Jesus' return. We're getting ready, like they sang this morning. We're getting ready for the marriage of the Lamb. And the way we prepare our hearts, the way we want to be those people who are just living a life surrendered to the Lord, expecting and watching and waiting for what he's doing. And the way we do it is we get to pursue Jesus. We get to pursue what he wants to do in and through us. And it's not about performance, but it's about relationship. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for what you've shared this morning, and that what Jim has just given to us in the truth of the word and in your words, Jesus. And we're just saying, Lord, prepare our hearts, Lord. Make us ready. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us up to overflowing, Lord God. Lord, let us see those right in front of us, Lord, that you bring day by day by day. Lord, the people that you put us in contact with, Lord. And let us be moved with compassion. Lord, let us be moved by your love. Lord, let us be moved by your generosity. Lord, let that overflow of your Holy Spirit, as we're filled with you, that we would overflow, Lord, with love and generosity, that we do unto the least of these, we've done unto you, Lord. And we're just saying, we're getting ready, Lord. We want our hearts to be ready, Lord. If there's anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus, today's a great day. It's a great day. That's the start, is saying yes to him as your Lord and Savior, is to giving him your whole heart, is to saying, Lord, I want you to be, Jesus, I want you to come and be Lord of my life. That he was talking about is that we want the Lord to come and possess us completely, that we want to be yours. So if you want any prayer, we're going to be up here. We would love to pray with you. And we just ask, I just ask the Lord that he would just bless you today, that you would go out with joy, be led forth with peace, and that you would just be filled with just a watching and a waiting for what the Lord is doing all around you in this time.
Yeah, and can we stand together?
Yeah.
I believe the Lord wants to just ask you, what talent has He given you? Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about talents as in talents the way the world considers, like you're a talented singer or you're a talented... No, what the Lord is saying is, what has God given you? What has He invested in you? And now He's turning to you and saying, now, go do something with that. Yeah. Go invest that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how many know we need the oil of the Holy Spirit in order to know to do anything with that? The Holy Spirit is that business investor that Jim was talking about. Yeah. So I just want to ask Holy Spirit, and maybe we can pray for one another in this way. I want to ask Holy Spirit to anoint us with this end times anointing. Mm. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Anoint me, Holy Spirit, with this end times anointing.
Yeah.
Lord, that I would have such an anointing on my life that You would show me what to do with what You've given me.
Yes.
That You would show me and You would anoint me in order to heal the sick.
Yes,
You would anoint me in order to preach the gospel in business. Lord, You would anoint me to be in that classroom, to be a parent at home with my toddler. God, we pray for an anointing to come upon Your church right now.
Yeah.
An end times anointing, we'll just use that phrase. God, that we would be like those wise virgins, Lord, that we would have have our vessels full.
Yes.
God, we want to be full and to overflowing right now.
Yes.
So, Holy Spirit, would You just come upon us? Just say, come upon me, Lord.
Come upon me, Lord.
Come upon me, Lord. Fill me.
Fill
me fresh today.
Fill me fresh.
And God, I just ask You for creative ideas. This is beyond human creativity. This is kingdom ability. There's a kingdom ability coming upon us. Lord, give us kingdom ideas.
Yeah.
Give us kingdom thoughts.
Yes.
Lord, on what we can do, Lord, I just thank You for the testimonies of Jim and Kathy Hill, Lord. For the Radio Church of the Andes and the water treatment in San Antonio de los Cobres and all the many lists of all these unreached peoples in the Andes Mountains.
Yeah.
Lord, for such a time as this,
amen.
You gave Jim and his team ideas. God, we need to know how to do with our talents what You've given us. What do we do with the Lord?
Yes.
Just ask Him that. What do I do, Lord? What do I do with what You've invested in me?
Yeah.
Lord, we just go with that today. I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's doing in this room right now. Because there's I don't want you to raise your hand, but there's wells rising up in people right now. I can just see it in the Spirit. There is kingdom ideas. There's places that God's calling you to go. There's things that He's calling you to do. There's action steps put to this that He's planting in your heart right now. Now take that. Just take one little mustard seed of that one little thing, this one little idea, this one little God dream that He's birthing in your spirit, the womb of your spirit right now. Take that and cultivate it. Go home today and write it down. Lay awake on your bed tonight and daydream about it. Ask the Lord to give you night dreams about it. Let God continue to cultivate these kingdom dreams in your heart. Why? Because we're in the last days. And God's saying, be about your Father's business.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not a time to just fool around. Let's be about our Father's business.
Yeah.
Thank You, Lord. Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She wants to share a verse.
So this is out of the Passion. It's Galatians 5:5-6. But we have the true hope that comes from being made right with God and by the Spirit. We wait eagerly for this hope. When you're joined to the Anointed One, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. All that matters now is living in faith that works and expresses itself in love.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well,